I just found out this morning this was Super Sunday. I forget about the Super Bowl, but it's still Super Sunday because we're here. I want to tell you this morning, right off, it's not about us. It's not about us at all. Paul wrote in the first of his letters to the church at Rome, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ," and that's what it's about today. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, Paul was the man when it came to preaching the Word of God. He was outstanding. He was that star quarterback. He lived his life for God, and he wasn't afraid to put it out there and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We're going to look at 1 Timothy today. Talk about his letter to his beloved spiritual son. There's a reminder from where Paul came from. You see, there's one thing that we have to understand here this morning. Every one of you out there, every one of you, from the youngest child to the oldest person here, there's power in your testimony. There's power in your story. Just like we're going to talk about the power of Paul's story in his letter to Timothy. I want to ask you, what is God doing in your life today? How is your life different since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has it changed? It should. Compare. Just look back. What does the way we live today say? And how do we measure up to that statement? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before I go into the scriptures, though, I have a commercial for you, a God commercial. I think about, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, they roll out the greatest commercials of the year, or so they say. But do you think God ever checks up to see if we're listening? I think he does. Something awesome happened to me this week. Call this a testimony, call it whatever you want. But I call it God checking up to see if I'm paying attention. You see, I've been getting pulpit supply, people, and it's been a little hard because, you know, I've got a list of about 30 names, but it seems they're all busy. I'm enjoying Russ. I hope you enjoy his messages. And he will be coming back. And as I said, Gideon's coming next week to share with us. But this week, I couldn't get anyone. They were all busy or things going on at their home church. So that's good. I'll pray. I'll see what God has for me to bring. And I was looking at my material and the things I had. Nothing was right until Wednesday morning. I knew what was right. I knew what I had to say. So I went through the week praying about it, looking at how I wanted to draw it together, what I wanted to say, and looking forward to a Saturday off. Well, I had to go into work on Saturday, and there was only two of us there. I go in pretty early, and I got up and went back to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and he follows me in. Well, that was kind of funny at first. But he says, "I need to talk to you." And he laid out a problem he was having in life. At first, it was a person he knew. But as we talked, he drew it down to it was a stepdaughter that's decided she's a lesbian. So I had to lay it out. Was I proud enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell him where I stood, share with him the gospel? And I did. No thanks to me. But we had a nice talk, and I told him of Jesus' love and explained sin to him and what the blood of Christ was. And he accepted it all. he understood it. You see, he's gone to church a few times. He's gone to a few different churches. So he knew what I was talking about. And we left it at that. As I went back to my desk and started working on my report again, it dawned on me. That's what my message was about. This is what God had instructed me to do. So it's confirmation that this is what I'm supposed to tell you today. And I look forward to what God has down the road for us. One of the Sundays that I had a pastor agree to come preach, he called me and he asked to back out because of a celebration going on in his home church. And that would have bothered me, but now I see it as an opportunity to look for what God has planned for that day. Because there's no doubt in my mind that God did not allow me to get a preacher for today. You see, it's all about Him. Let's go to our scripture this morning. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 19. And you'll recognize these verses. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the eternal, immortal, visible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and good conscience, which some, being rejected concerning the faith, has suffered shipwreck. Do anybody in here know who Bob Hope was? A few of us. His theme song was Thanks for the Memories. See, we all have memories. Some of them are bad and some of them are good. But we all have them. And I thank God for the memories that He allows me. The memories of the things He has done in my life. The things of where I was at. And the memories of where He has taken me. We are not to dwell on our past. See, we're not supposed to glorify the lifestyle that we used to live. However, we must never, ever forget it, because that is our testimony. There's power in each one of us's testimony when it's given with a steady diet of God's Word to strengthen us, to assure us of the things that we say. We pass on the things in our life to those that don't yet know Jesus Christ. We do it sometimes unintentionally by the way we live our lives. But you have to remember that a lot of people out there, when they see you, that's the only Bible they have ever saw. They have never read it. You are the living example of God's Word to them. We can tell them what the Lord has done in our lives, but we need to make an impression, a lasting impression that's fueled by the power of conviction from the Holy Spirit. You see, we're only part of the equation. We can share where we've been and where we are now, but without the Holy Spirit and His conviction upon that person, it's just so many words and it's a neat little story And well, okay, that's fine. But what about if we do touch that chord in our lives? That conviction of the Holy Spirit is starting. You know they're going to watch us. Not so much to watch and see us fail, but they're going to watch us to see how they can do it. How they can have Jesus Christ come into their lives. How they can find that difference that we now have. My first point is called Thanks for the Memories. Go back to verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We have been enabled to walk away from our past. We would never have had the strength to do it on our own, and I'm speaking for myself. You know, a lot of you have known me for quite a few years, and you know where I come from. You see, look at Paul. Look where he came from. He laid it right out there for Timothy. He said, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. He was probably the greatest enemy that a Christian ever had. He took delight in hunting them down and persecuting them. He took delight in putting them to death because he thought he was doing right as a Hebrew. He felt he was serving God until that fateful day on the Damascus Road when Jesus Christ spoke to his heart. See, that's happening in our world right around us today. There are those that are trying to draw people away from Jesus Christ. It's trying to separate them. Paul would have never been accepted, I believe, into a church today to sit on their council or be their lead evangelist because of his past, unless he could convince us that he had changed. Well, we know that Jesus Christ changes people. And on a more contemporary note, there was a man, his name was Josh McDowell. You may have heard of him. He made it his life work to disprove Christianity. He toured this country giving lectures, making fun of Christians. You know what happened to him? He was so dedicated in disproving Christianity, he was converted. He is now an evangelist for Christ. And that's the power of God's Word. We're called. Every one of you here, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been called to a purpose. We've talked about gifts, but I'm not talking about a gift. I'm talking about a calling. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's not the end of it. See, the Great Commission was given to the disciples, but it wasn't just for them. Every one of you here has a testimony. Every one of you here are called to make disciples. Not just to hear the Word, but to hear the Word and be convinced. To be disciples themselves and make more disciples and more disciples. We're to share God's message. There should be a flame that burns within you, the flame of the Holy Spirit. I shared a story with you one other time, and I want to share it again. It's a story by Dr. John MacArthur. It's called The Lonely Ember. This is a great story. I'm going to read it word for word so I don't mess it up. A member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. The pastor found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a big chair near the fireplace, and waited. The pastor made himself comfortable but said nothing. In the grave silence, he contemplated the play of the fire burning around the logs. After some minutes, the pastor took a pair of fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember and placed it to one side of the hearth all alone. He then sat back down in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet fascination. As the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then his fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead as a doornail. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately began to glow once more with the light and the warmth of the burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, the host said, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I shall be back in church next Sunday." See, we've been delivered. We've been tested. We've been changed by the word of Christ, by His blood and the grace of God. Paul not only changed from where he was at, he never looked back. Maybe we're at a point in our lives where we need to be placed back into the embers to have that spark put back in our life, to get rid of the complacency as we just go through life. We gather here with our little support group, and we cheer each other on and we encourage each other. But what about the poor souls that don't know Jesus Christ, don't know the grace of God, or the loving companionship of Christian fellowship? See, Paul knew he was on the wrong path, and he moved forward, never looking back. He used his testimony to change the heart of men, and the same thing is true for us. But now there's a difference between never looking back and forgetting where you came from. Never gaze longingly back to where you came from. Remember Lot's wife. She stopped and gazed back on where they came from and was turned into a pillar of salt. You can look back to share with your testimony, but don't look back longingly and praise the things that you used to do. Don't go back there. Point number two is we need to pass it on. We are given such a glorious gift in salvation. We need to pass on that information. Verse 16 and 17. "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me, first Christ, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus died for us, and we have the opportunity to pass Jesus on to others. Paul talks about that being a pattern for others to follow. Well, see, we don't have that honor of watching Jesus Christ. We didn't get to see Him in person as He walked around and gave us an example. And it's funny because we were just talking about that this morning. I truly believe we have something much better. See, if you're watching Jesus, you only see His example as long as He's in eyesight. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus with us every minute of every day. You have Jesus with you while you sleep, while you eat breakfast, while you go to work. You have that example of the Holy Spirit prompting you and prodding you, if needed, to do the right things. All you have to do is listen. We have something else too. We have the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit directing those around us to assist us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to the hearts of the people in this room to guide us, to help us out? I think about those that are gone from this church. When I was young, they were the old people. Well, I'm the old people now. But they guided me. They nudged me. There was a few here that weren't afraid to come up and say, "Michael, you need to look at what you're doing." "Yes, ma'am." It was fun. But they were nudging because the Holy Spirit was talking to them and saying, "You go talk to Michael and you straighten out what he's doing. You bring him back where he's supposed to be and you explain why that is wrong." And I needed that sometimes because I had no idea that I shouldn't be a-doing what I was a-doing because I hadn't reached that point yet. We have them people right here today that will reach out, that see what you're doing and know you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And I pray that you'll receive it in the intent that it's given to help guide you, because they're guided by the Holy Spirit. I have a little challenge for you this week. I want you to pick any day this upcoming week. Any day in your life has to be a normal day, and I want you to go through the normal things you always do. Go where you go, say what you say, do what you do. And then I want you to try to look at it again through the eyes of a lost soul seeking Jesus Christ. Could they see anything in your life that you went through on that day where you could have led them? What kind of Jesus are you showing to them? And my last point is to make it stick. We have an opportunity to make an impression on those around us. I must have made an impression on that man that wanted to talk to me last Saturday. He came to me. He initiated a conversation. So I hope I can make a correct impression on him. I give God the glory. But I just hope he sees my life in a way that would be encouraging him to follow on. And I'm not done talking to him yet. I'll continue. But see, Paul proposed some wonderful challenges to Timothy, his beloved spiritual son. He tells him to fight a good fight. He told Timothy to never waver in the faith. Keep his mind clear. And that's what I'm telling you today. That's what God wants for us. To fight a good fight. To keep the faith. To keep our mind clear. Yeah, it sounds good. Fight the good fight. I mean, you could put that on a Cracker Jacks box or something. Make a nice headline. But what is that? Well, for us, it should be easy. We already know who wins. You want to fight a good fight, you pick the right side. It's not like we don't know the winning side to pick. And that's where we need to be. We need to be on the side of Jesus Christ and we'll fight the good fight. We choose Jesus Christ's side and we'll battle right up to the point of victory. No obstacles can beat us. Nothing can beat us down. And I'm telling you this morning that you can't get far enough away from God that He can't reach out and pull you back. Whatever pulls you away, God is stronger. We are told to never waver. There's no stronger testimony we can give than of Jesus Christ and what He has done. You know, a lot of us, it's not a problem to stand tall for Jesus Christ when we're in the good times. We're up on top of the mountain, everything's going great, our job's going great, our lives are going great, and we can praise Jesus Christ from morning until night. But what about the times when your life is not so great? What's in disarray? Whether by your own sins or by things out of your control, sometimes we're down in the valley and we feel like we're alone. Can you stand up and praise God then? Can you be a testimony at the low point in your lives? Well, there's nothing stronger than a Christian can stand up and say praise God when his life is falling apart around him. There's a testimony for you, a strong testimony. Powerful testimony. See, God is so powerful, He can snatch us from the jaws of death right up to the point of our death. You stop and think about that. It sounds kind of funny. How's a victory in our death? But when we measure this world against what God has to offer us, there is a victory. And we're all going there someday. That's one thing you can count on. You're going to stand before the Lord God. And you're going to be judged for the things that you did. The chaff is going to be separated from the wheat. I hope you've made a decision to fight on the side of Jesus Christ, to fight the good fight. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. At no point in your life do you need to throw your hands up and say, I give up. Because you still have the power. You're still on the winning side, no matter how bad things seem. Instead of taking your eyes off of God, turn back to God. Remember Peter, in the midst of the storm, when he stepped out of the boat to walk to Jesus? He was walking on water. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. But then Peter looked away. He looked at the situation around him, and he sank. And I believe that's an example for us. We keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. The circumstances swirling around us can't drown us, because He is stronger than any problem that we have. So this morning I'm going to ask you, do you thank God for the memories? How often do we truly, earnestly thank Him for the things that have gone on in our lives? For our past, both the good and the bad. Do you go to Him for the small things as well as the big? You should. God wants to hear it all. And I want to ask you, do you make the most of your opportunities to pass it on? See, it's all about God. I wonder sometimes, did I miss an opportunity to share God with someone that came across my path? And we have a tendency to think we're only going to share with words, but it's much more than that. You're sharing God with your actions, especially those ones that in your own families or that you work with that know you're a Christian, and they haven't made that choice yet. Your actions speak louder than words. You're a testimony every day by the things that you do, by the things that you join in and shy away from. I know sometimes it's hard to share with those people that are so set against the Bible and the Word of God. They ridicule sometimes. They don't want to hear it. But let your actions be your testimony. So do you care enough to make it stick? Do you care enough that once you've been that example, that you remain that example, that you reach out? People come to Christ, they have to be taught. They have to be discipled. It's not a one-sentence thing where you say, yes, I accept God as Lord and Savior, and you're good to go. There's more to it than that. To share Christ and to share what your life was and what your life is now. Every one of you here have a powerful testimony. Every one of you here are called to be disciples, to share what Christ has done in your life. I enjoyed this week. I enjoyed putting this message together. I was a little freaked out on Saturday when I got tested about it, but that's how God works. He wants to confirm that He's working in the hearts of these people. I urge you to take me up on my challenge this week. Look at one day in your life from the perspective of a lost soul and see if you could have been an encouragement. Look especially hard for God calling you to share the message. You don't have to be a preacher or a deacon or a trustee or have any other title. The only title is lover of Christ, to share that message. And Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You love us this much, that You call us to serve You. And Father, I just thank You for the people that make the choice to share Your good word, to reach out in Your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're doing just as I am.
I know we got an exciting Super Bowl tonight, but don't forget we have services at 6 o'clock. I think it'll be kind of an interesting topic tonight. And, you know, Mike spoke about, you know, the leading of the Spirit, and I think it'll be interesting to see how similar what God gave to me for this evening is to what He said today. And so I encourage everyone to come and check that out. So let's pray. Father, we come to You. We again thank You for the leading of Your Spirit. And we thank You that it all works together for Your good, Lord. We just pray that You would continue to inspire this body of believers to serve You and to grow closer to You and to accomplish Your will and Your purposes, Lord. And as we leave here, we just ask for Your presence with each and every person. We ask for guidance and direction, and we just ask that You would bring everybody back at the appointed time. And it's in Jesus' name we come. Amen.